Welcome to the Arkansas Baptist Women Podcast. On this season, we will talk about the beauty of belonging to a gospel-centered, like-minded community that shapes and encourages us to love God and to be present in our calling.
We are excited to sit down with different women from all stages of life and hear what God is doing in their life in an area of ministry that God has called them to. Join us as we find encouragement in the work and presence of God as He is reflected through casual conversation around coffee and authenticity.
Hey guys, we are back today and we are so eager just to sit down and introduce to you and kind of create conversation around the topic of just ministry and just a current season of life with Brooke Bergen.
Yeah, we have Brooke with us today. We're so excited.
I'm so excited to be here.
Brooke is the women's minister at the Summit Church in Conway. Her husband is Jonathan Bergen and he's the pastor there. And so we're just so excited that we get to sit down with you and just hear about more about your life and your family and all the things.
Yeah. I'm excited to be here and to share all the things with you.
As we're getting to just sit down with you, first tell our listeners a little bit about you, your life, family, work, all those kind of things. Just help us get to know you a little bit better.
Yeah. So like you said, Jonathan and I, we have the opportunity to lead Summit Conway, and we kind of have a unique path into ministry. I was a school teacher for 10 years in the Conway School District, and Jonathan was actually a school psychologist for the Conway School District for 10 years. So we got to work, not really together, but we had the same, you know, schedule. We were in the schools at the same time. He did not have a seminary background or anything before becoming a pastor. I did not grow up thinking, I'm going to be a pastor's wife one day. When we got married, if you had told me that I was going to be a pastor's wife, I would have laughed in your face. But I am so thankful for the journey that the Lord has brought us on to get here. And then we have two kiddos. We have Audrey, who is 12, and we have Caleb, who is 5, and their personalities are polar opposites. Audrey's more like me. She's quiet, introverted, and then Caleb is exactly like Jonathan. He's loud, the life of the party. So much fun to be around, but they're super sweet kids.
That's so fun.
Okay, Brooke. So we just want to get to know you. And we love the way that God oftentimes just intersects our life with relationships and ministry and brings about just for His glory. And we know and we've seen that just fruit just in within the Summit Church. And within your life, but with that comes a lot of people that help mature us and develop us. And so I want you to share with us just who is a mentor, someone that has been and walked life with you and kind of shared and imparted wisdom to you over the years.
Yeah. So when we came to Summit 7 years ago, it was a very, very young church. I mean, we were 33 at the time, and we were some of the oldest people then. So I immediately was looking for who are the older women in this church, and there were very few, which praise God we have a lot now. But there was a lady named Phyllis, Phyllis Edwards, and she's one of our elders' wives, and she kind of just took me under her wings. Her daughter is one of my dearest friends, and so that's fun. But she, every time I'm with her, like, she just is so calm, and she just has taught me how to just sit with the Lord, like how to just linger with Him when you're around her. Like, she just points you to the Lord. She's very wise, but also just so fun to be around. She's taught me how to pray. She's taught me how to walk through hard seasons. I've seen her walk through hard seasons. Her husband actually passed away almost a year ago suddenly, and so I've gotten to see her walk through a lot of pain and grief and go through all the first without him, and he was that way for Jonathan. They were kind of our, like, couple mentor that we went to for everything, and, I mean, big leaders in the church, but, you know, she's also on the side teaching me how to bake bread, and we're going on walks together and just living life with each other. But I just feel like every time I walk away from her, I'm like, man, I just want to sit with the Lord and just linger with him.
Mm-hmm. That's really sweet.
Yeah.
That's
good.
Yeah.
So in this season of life, where you're a pastor's wife, mm-hmm. you are in ministry, you lead the women of your church, and you're a mom, mm-hmm. a friend, and the list goes on and on. What would you say there is something that God continues to repeat over you just in this season of life?
So in this past season, like you said, I'm the pastor's wife, but also a mom, and we're also leading. This last year, when I think about what season we're in, I would say, you know, seasons can be long and can be short. And I feel like the season has been long, like a year, year and a half. And like we're still walking in this season. But this past season and current we've experienced a lot of loss and grief. Starting with last April, I surprised got pregnant at 39. Didn't think I could get pregnant again, was like full-blown panic mode, then got really excited about it, and then had a miscarriage. And so just the grief that comes with all of that, and then we lost, like I just said, Melvin, our dear friend. Then in November, my son was in the hospital, and we were told he had tumors, and so we're thinking, oh my goodness, he has cancer. It was a bone infection, praise God. Still serious, but not near serious as cancer. And then I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder. And so just a lot of ups and downs and trying to walk the people of your church through grief, but also grieving yourself mm-hmm. and thinking, how do I show up to church on Sunday morning and sit on the front row with my husband, but I just want to be weeping and crying. Mm-hmm. And, but also knowing that, like, I can do that. Like, I have the freedom yeah. to be that person.
Yeah.
But the Lord has taught me in this season that just, like I said with Phyllis, just sit with me. Mm-hmm. Just abide in me. Just come and linger with me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I have spent this last year and a half doing is just stopping what I'm doing, no matter how busy my schedule is, and doing that, but also being real and open with people. Like, I would say the people of Summit know that, like, we've walked through hard things. We've shared that with people. We want people to know, like, that we're real people too, and we have pain, and let's do this together. And most of the time we don't know what we're doing, yeah. but let's do it together. And then also, this just is so obvious, but like knowing and remembering that everything here is temporary, with all the loss, it puts your mind into perspective that I can get so caught up in just petty things or things that don't matter. Mm-hmm. And the Lord's like, no, just keep your eyes on me. Like, just keep walking with me. I'm going to walk you through the hard things, but I'm with you, and it's going to be hard, but he's with me. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think just in this last year, it's just keep going, keep following him, and he's going to walk with you through it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's so good.
In this season, what would you say, and we talked about this at a coffee shop a few weeks ago about your chair that
oh, yes.
I love so much that's in your house. I like told my husband, I was like, I want this chair that Brooke has. What are your daily and weekly rhythms with the Lord in this season?
Yeah. So I'm a morning person. I've always been like an early riser. Like, I want to get up.
I'm so impressed. I think that's fantastic.
Morgan's just not at all.
If I don't get up well before my kids, I'm like the grumpiest mom. And so I know I have to get up before them. But I love to get up early. I'm very like routine.
Yeah.
Like she said, I have my chair. I have like all my Bible study material there. You know, I get up, make my coffee. I get my cozy blankets, usually my heated blanket.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to just sit and spend a good 45 minutes to an hour in prayer and reading the Bible. And I mean, like I said, life is hard. And yeah. if I think I can get up and spend 5 minutes with him, that's not going to get me through. That's not going to get me through the day, you yeah. know? Mm-hmm. And so it's a big priority for me to do that every morning. And our whole family's kind of going through the Bible recap right now.
Oh, that's fun.
Jonathan and I are doing it together, and then Audrey's doing like the kids' version of it. And Caleb, he's doing the Jesus Storybook Bible.
Yeah.
But he thinks it's great that he's already gone through it like 2 times this year. And it's taking us a lot longer to go through the Bible than it takes him, which is precious.
Yeah.
But then also weekly, like one of the rhythms that Jonathan and I have been very intentional with is like, is taking a true Sabbath. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that a lot of believers just overlook, even though it's one of the commandments. Yeah. And we're not perfect with it by any means, but we are intentional with, we know Thursday evenings are our family nights, and that may look like us going to dinner together or eating dinner at home and playing games or going on. We love to go on drives together as a family and listen to music and mm-hmm. just sit in silence together. And but then knowing that Fridays are our days that, which Jonathan and I are in a unique season where a lot of people aren't, but that we're both off on Fridays together. And so when the kids are in school, I mean, like, we have a whole day together if we want, which is really fun. And we may go on a coffee date or go out to lunch or go on a bike ride or drive somewhere fun and go eat lunch. Or if it's hunting season, he may go sit on a deer stand. And then I get the day to myself. But, but being intentional with doing something that fills us up and not thinking about ministry, not checking our emails. And we even practice that with our staff. Like, we know on Fridays, staff doesn't text about, like, work stuff. Mm-hmm. But then in the summer when the kids are home, Fridays are family days, and we may go to the lake or just do something that's going to fill us up. And we know, like, Thursday night's coming.
Yeah.
And it's exciting to think we are going to get rest, you know.
That's good.
And that's cool that your kids are, like, seeing that pattern in y'all, but then also as a family, like, something that they – could implement like in their own family like later on. That's really cool.
Yeah.
What would you say are some things that you're like listening to or reading right now that have been impactful in your life, or maybe like a book from a past season that like really had an impact on your life?
I love Christy Knuckles.
Me too. Okay.
Every time I feel like I'm around younger generations all the time, and like they none of them know who Christy Knuckles
we were like she was our girl.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
I have no idea how old you are. So
34.
Okay, so yeah. But she was one of the first. Do you know who she is, Hannah?
No. We will introduce you.
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
You need to go listen. She has the Glorious in the Mundane podcast.
Oh, perfect.
It's fantastic.
Okay, her book, The Life You Long For.
So good.
So good. I've read it 3 times. But she's also, she is a worship artist.
Okay.
And she helped start Passion Conference.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
She helped write, like, Lord, I Need You. Like, a lot of the songs that... But what I love about her is that she kind of removed herself from that spotlight. And she's just so humble and, like, gentle. And when you listen to her podcast, like, you just feel calm. Like, I don't know.
That's so sweet.
Have you, you know, her newest album comes out June 6th.
Oh, yes. I have it pre-saved.
Okay, yes. And have you listened to her newest song, Be Where Your Feet Are?
Oh, a million times. And the podcast that goes with it.
Yes. I'm telling you.
I will add it. I will listen to it on the drive home. Yes.
Well, and there's one episode that she talks about. I think it's called An Open Heart. And she talks about when she walked into her church and she saw this generation singing songs that she had written and how as like we get to like lead in ministry, but there are seasons where you pass off ministry.
Yeah.
And how she got to see that and how beautiful it is when you're able to see like ministry continue beyond you.
That's cool.
Yeah. It was beautiful. It's
really neat. That's really cool.
Okay, Brooke, so tell us and our listeners about your call to ministry and how the Lord has brought you to the seat that you currently sit in at your church.
So, like I said, Jonathan was a school psychologist. We were at our previous church, though, we were leading small groups. I feel like I've always seen in Jonathan just this ability. He's kind of a people gatherer. Like, mm-hmm. he loves people. He wants to be, like, on Sunday mornings, he's out in the commons. He's out in the parking lot. He wants to know everybody that walks through the door. I think he would have everybody over at our house every night if I let him, kind of person. But we would lead small groups together, and they would grow, and then they would multiply. And, like, I just had always seen that leadership in him that the Lord gifted him with. And I think when I was, like, 8 months pregnant with Audrey, he was in a really bad car accident. And the lady that pulled out in front of him, she died immediately. And when he just will share the story of, like, when he got out of the car and just seeing the wreckage and all the ambulances and fire trucks and police cars. And the Lord just kind of shook him in that moment of, like, mm-hmm. hey, because we kind of had a rocky start to our marriage too. Mm-hmm. And the Lord just kind of showed him, like, hey, what you see out here going on is, like, what's going on in your heart. Mm-hmm. And so in that season, his life began to change dramatically and was leading more in our house. And, like, our marriage started flourishing. Then he took Perspectives. Do y'all know the class, Perspectives? Yeah, yeah. He took that class and kind of in that season started feeling this tug to ministry. But again, like, we have no ministry background whatsoever other than leading a small group. He's never preached a day in his life. And then we met Kyle and Katie Reno, who planted Summit Conway. And we became really good friends with them. And Kyle, he took Jonathan under his wings and really kind of shepherded him through this calling into ministry. And he saw a lot of these same things in Jonathan. And they were driving down the road one day, and he literally just asked Jonathan, "Do you want to plant a church together?" And Jonathan was like, "For real?" You know, like, okay. Like, they were talking about ministry. And so, again, Jonathan's like, he's never heard me preach a day in his life. Or, you know, but we got asked to go plant a church. And so Jonathan quit his job as a school psychologist that year and came on staff at Summit and joined the residency program. So our plan was to be at Summit Conway for a year and then go plant a church in Greenbrier. Mm-hmm. And so I start looking for a teaching job in Greenbrier. We put our house up for sale. We joined the gym in Greenbrier so that we can get to know people. And I'm, like, on the last leg of interviews at the school district in Greenbrier, like, very, you know, right there getting a job. And I told Jonathan, I said, I just don't feel like I'm supposed to take the job. I feel like I'm supposed to stay in Conway. And he was like, but we're moving. Like, we're planting a church. And I was like, I know, but I feel like the Lord's telling me to stay in Conway. And so Jonathan, you know, he trusts me and trusts that I hear from the Lord. And so I signed my contract, like, the last minute at Conway School District and stay. And that summer, Bill Eliff, who was the founding pastor for Summit in Conway, he retired. And then Kyle, his role changed from lead pastor of Conway to directional pastor. And so that left Conway lead pastor role open. And so we ended up staying there in Summit Conway.
Wow.
And which was also crazy, and it happened so fast. Yeah. And but again, I was still teaching. I taught, I think, the first, like, 2 or 3 years that Jonathan was lead pastor. And so I don't know, I just started feeling this tug of, like, I love teaching, but, like, when I'm at school, all I can think about is ministry. Mm-hmm. And I want to pour into women, and I want to be leading Bible studies, and women would ask to go to lunch with me or coffee, and I'd have to tell them maybe over Christmas break or maybe over summer break. And then finally, one day, Jonathan asked me, he's like, do you think the Lord's calling you out of the classroom? And I immediately was like, no, I don't think so. And he was like, well, I can see that, though. And so we prayed about it. We talked about it. And he asked me, like, what was my fear with leaving the classroom? Yeah. And it was money, you know. Mm-hmm. It was the stability of a job and a huge pay cut. Mm-hmm. And he said, so if money wasn't the issue, like, you would quit and stay home with Caleb and do ladies ministry full time. And I was like, absolutely. And then he said, okay, well, then that's it. That's what you're doing. And I was like, but wait a second. Like,
you're like, there's still this piece.
That doesn't add up on paper. And, you know, but it's just one of those things where, like, if the Lord's calling you to it, mm-hmm. he's going to provide the way for you to do it. And it's not always been easy. Because when I first started, it was strictly volunteer. And so it's not always been easy. And there have been moments where I'm like, I should just go back to teaching. But I know that's not what the Lord called me to. And have we made sacrifices for me to do that? Absolutely. But it's been so worth it. And there's not a day that goes by that I don't wake up in the morning and just, like, get so excited about going to the office. Because our staff is, like, they're, like, our best friends. Yeah. And we have mm-hmm. so much fun together. And I get so excited, like, on Bible study days. Yeah. And leading college students, and I never dread, like, a day of going to work, you know, which I can't even call it that, but it's so fun. And I'm just, it all happens so quickly, and I'm so thankful for it. Yeah.
I feel like that is, like, it's just so many things, like you said, like, we're just, like, quick in y'all's story that, like, the Lord, like, provided or gave you, like, a burden, provided, and then, like, acted, which is, like, really cool. Mm-hmm.
And I remember a few years ago when we first bought the church, like, bought land to build, I remember Jonathan and I, like, sitting up there on the mountain, just, like, in our cars, just, like, weeping that, like, the Lord called us to this. And we looked at each other and we were like, we have no clue what we're doing. But it's so much fun. And, you know, it's, and now he's taking seminary classes and, you know, going kind of the backwards way to it. But it just shows that, like, all it takes is just somebody that's humble, that's willing to say yes and follow the Lord. Like, you don't have to have all the things.
Yeah.
That's so good. So being on staff and also walking hand in hand in ministry with your husband and being a mom. Mm-hmm. What does that look like for you just on any given day? A Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday?
Well, our kids are heavily involved in a lot of the ministry that we do. But we try to protect them from a lot of things. You know, we want them to always love church and not hear us just talk about it all the time. We do have boundaries. Like, when we're at home, we try not to just spend the whole time talking about ministry stuff. Like, we want to just be present with our kids, but they love coming to church. I mean, Sunday mornings, mm-hmm. like, we go the whole morning because, you know, Caleb wants to go socialize with his friends. And
I feel like I do just see him run around the lobby, like, any service that we attend. Uh-huh. Like, yeah. And I'm like, he's just as happy to
be
there.
I can't tell you how many times I will go sit down with Jonathan and we kind of look at each other and we're like, do you know where Caleb is? And we both are like, no. But we know he's somewhere. Somebody has him. Audrey loves to serve in kids ministry now. And one thing I love, even right now with summer being out, like, they come with me to the office sometimes. Yeah. And then the girls that I disciple, you know, when the kids are in school, like, we can go to coffee shops and hang out one-on-one. But now that the kids are out, like, they just get to join me in whatever we're doing that day. And tomorrow, one of the girls that I'm meeting, like, she's going to come with me to the church and do something, and then she and I are going to take the kids to the park. And but they get to pour into my kids too, which is really neat, that the girls I pour into my kids. And so that's just really fun that they get to be a part of all of it. And I really think my kids love it. They seem to genuinely love it anyways.
Yeah. Like, kind of talking about, like, our church and just, like, the people that y'all pour into, but then also the people that are just a part of Summit Conway. Like, it's, like, so evident when Thomas and I moved about a year ago and started attending, it was just like so evident the way like the people of our church like love y'all so much. And it's like so sweet to see that. But something I kind of wanted to ask you was, because obviously you have to sit in a leadership seat as like the women's minister, but then also as the pastor's wife. So how have you seen like community play a part in your walk with the Lord while you're also being a leader to so many, but also you do have rich, deep friendships in the church too. How have you seen those like go hand in hand?
I feel like we just have such a unique, like family dynamic at Summit.
Yeah.
Like I said, Jonathan wants to know everybody that walks through those doors. And like, we never turn down a moment when someone asks us to go to coffee or to lunch or to have dinner. Like, we're always, it may be a month later, but we're always going to say yes.
Yeah.
Like, we always want to be accessible to people. We always want to be real with people. I will say, like, I don't know if you've seen like the bullseye thing that Jenny Allen talks about. Yeah. So I just kind of was thinking through that. Like, we have in the center of our bullseye is like, we have two couples that I would say are our best friends.
Yeah.
And they know everything about us. They know when we're struggling with things. They're there, like when I had the miscarriage, I mean, they were there the moment they found out. Our elders even are like fully invested in our lives. Like, we want no closets whatsoever, because we know that if there's any closets, the enemy can just have a heyday with that. Yeah. And we've seen a lot of pastors, you know, go through a lot of just struggles when there's dark closets. And so we want to just be as open as possible. And which I love that our people let us be that way. Yeah. Like, I don't think people expect us to be perfect. And but then we also have we have like a monthly prayer group that we like text and kind of give updates. You know, like missionaries will send out like a monthly newsletter. Yeah. And we would have these families that aren't necessarily in the bullseye, but kind of in the outer rings, that just have always told us that they've committed to praying for us and would ask us how to pray. And so we were like, let's just create a like monthly text thread. And so at the beginning of each month, we just send out like things that our family's walking through or things that are happening in the church that we need prayer for. Or like when Caleb was in the hospital, they were the first people we texted. And so we think it's important to let people in on our lives as much as we want to be in on theirs. Because everybody wants to be known and seen and loved, and not known and seen from like a platform standpoint, but like on a deep level.
Yeah, for sure.
And also, like, when I try to sign up for as many meal trains as I can for, like, when people have babies. So, you know, Hannah, you can let me know now what you want on your meal train.
Perfect.
But I think it's important for our kids to see, like, when we take meals to people.
Yeah.
And then, like, when Caleb was in the hospital, like, we had a meal train for us. And, like, they got to be on the receiving end of it, which was really sweet to see kind of both ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay, as we close, what would you say to someone who is working a job that they are no longer feel called to, or they just have kind of felt a little burnout in? How would you encourage them?
I would say pray. Mm-hmm. Really sit with the Lord in it. And like I said, when he was calling me out of the classroom, like, I knew in my heart, I had a lot of fears. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of doubts with it. And I think we always want what's comfortable, you know, and leaving teacher retirement and all the things. That was kind of scary. But again, like, I knew what he was calling me to. And I think sometimes we look at the bigger picture and we can't see that bigger picture. And so it scares us.
Yeah.
But also, if the Lord had told us 7 years ago when Jonathan was called into ministry that in 7 years, you're going to be building a church, it's going to grow significantly, you're going to be the lead pastor, we would have said, no way, you know? Because that would have been really scary.
Yeah.
But if you just take the next little step and don't worry about all the big things that could happen, just trust in him and just take the next step and he'll keep leading you. I think the Lord always puts this vision in my mind of me like following him on this path. And I think every season of life, it's been kind of this different image, but it's always the same of like, he's in front of me, he's guiding me. And as long as I'm walking on that path with him, like, I'm going to be joyful. It's going to be good. It's going to be okay. It's not, sometimes I see like bright flowers and it's beautiful. And then sometimes it's on a dark, rocky mountain, but it's always me walking with the Lord. Yeah. And so I think you just have to take the next step and just trust that he's going to take you. He's going to guide you. He's going to provide what you need. He's going to give you the strength. You can't do it all on your own strength, because if you do, you will fail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you will burn out. And so you have to get your strength from the Lord.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's so like really good. Encouraging too, because I bet there are like our listeners, just there's a wide range. Yeah. And so there's some people that could be in your seat that they were in a classroom or in a corporate job and they're like, I think the Lord's calling me something else or whatever that looks like. So I think that's very encouraging for sure.
And to know that faith comes with risk.
Absolutely.
You know, and that there's cost to it. But the greater joy is knowing that you're being obedient and walking in that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I have so much more peace knowing that I'm in this role versus like when I was teaching, even though there was a lot more security there as far as like financially, but like I just have more peace because I know that I'm doing what he's called me to do. Yeah. And I have more joy. I mean, and there was a season when that's how I felt with teaching, yeah. You know, and then when I got out, I thought, like, I wasted all those years of education and so did Jonathan, but really, like, we still get to use those.
Yeah.
But those are lies from the enemy.
Yeah, for
that
sure.
He's going to try to tell you why you shouldn't
yeah.
do the things that God's calling you to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is so good. That's awesome. Well, good. Brooke, thanks so much for being with us today.
Yeah,
this has been,
so
I know, getting to peer into someone else's just life and ministry has been so encouraging to me, I know to Hannah, and to our listeners. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you.